You are listening to TLRStation.com.
Welcome to Choose Your Adventure Radio, where we connect with the authors in the first book in the Tenacious Living book series. Host Carrie Ann Barron, founder of Tenacious Living, is excited to introduce them to you through the medium of radio. Here, guests have overcome overwhelming and life-altering challenges to move forward in their lives. And now, here is your host, Carrie Ann Barron.
Hello and welcome to Tenacious Living's Choose Your Adventure radio show. My name is Carrie Ann Barron and I am the owner of TLRStation.com. I am also your host for this show. And today we have a special guest who is in the virtual green room. His name is Dave Bodie. Dave is one of the Calgary's most requested youth public speakers and is often requested for appearances at schools, recreations, and events. After defeating over 16 years of depression, bullying, and suicide, Dave assists youths and their families on handling incidents of the above-mentioned issues, or the issues I've mentioned. He has been conducting this service for well over 3 years now, and he wants me to let you know that he is not a certified professional, thus his advice is merely from experience and with the sole intent to help inspire and strengthen. Dave, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am fantastic. How about you?
Oh, I'm so excited to talk with you and just pick your brain a little bit more about your chapter, find out what you wrote in the book to share with our listeners, what you shared and what you're up to now. It's been a while since we've connected, so I'm really excited to find out what's going on in your world these days.
Yeah, it actually has been a long time since we've spoken, and I've been very busy since the book launched in, I believe it was February. So I've been pretty busy since then.
Yeah. So what have you been up to? Just briefly.
I've been doing a lot more. When the book released, I was just getting into acting. It wasn't really a passion then, but it slowly grew into one. And I've appeared on Heartland. I've appeared on a TV show called Young Drunk Punk. I've appeared on the Sunday Amani show. I'm actually filming with Hell on Wheels on Monday. So I'm very, very, very busy with that passion and that path that I'm actually currently on.
Oh, it's so exciting because that's been one of your passions and one of your dreams all this time is to get more in the public eye. So that's so exciting. Okay. So let's get back to the chapter and to why you wanted to write to this book. The name of your chapter is "We Fall, We Rise." What is the meaning behind that chapter? What is the meaning behind that chapter? Chapter title, sorry.
No, not a problem. The meaning is throughout life, there's going to be times where you are forced to adapt. And when I speak publicly now, I focus on adaptation and resiliency because I find that those two embody exactly what you need to keep living. It's like I always say, as long as you are alive, you can always affect change. You can always adapt. And it comes to the point where you just have to focus on what you want and where your life takes you. Because we all, you know, fall. It can be like we're all vulnerable to depression. We're all vulnerable to loss at any time in our lives. And we just have to learn how to focus on adaptation and just focusing on what we want in our lives that keeps us happy. So the reason why I came with that title is my chapter was about depression and overcoming depression and having the obstacles thrown at me sporadically throughout my whole life. So I fell a lot, but I also rose a lot more.
So how did you fall? What did you write about in the chapter for those that who haven't read the book yet?
Of course.
What were some of those falls?
The debut chapter was about my experiences with bullying, which was ideally from ECS all straight through to grade 12, not just with myself, but with people who were close to me as well. I lost my best friend due to bullying. I dealt with suicide, kind of like tendencies in grade 9. And then I dealt with suicide in 2006, and I dealt with suicide again in 2011. So my chapter speaks about my struggles with being bullied and losing my mother at the age of 4. I didn't see her till I was 18. Dealing with that struggle, who was there for me and what got me through it. Basically, it's a long story put into 1,500 words of how I dealt with it and how I now motivate others to go through it as well.
Well, I know when I read it, I was literally moved to tears when I read the book, especially when you were talking about your mom and how you would see others say "I love you" to them, and that you wish you grew up with being able to say those words. And now you have a pretty decent relationship with her, don't you?
Yeah, we're pretty close now. Yep.
Cool. So what was so you talked about the fall and then you rise. So what sort of helped you get through this? What was the learning through your early years that you shared with the individuals in the book?
Professional wrestling was one of my biggest outlets that allowed me the opportunity to just break free from all that was stressing me out. Like when I would look forward to going to Stampede Wrestling and hanging with Stu Hart and other wrestlers, it gave me that outlet. And I find that some youths, unfortunately, don't have that outlet. They don't know what to focus on. And without that focus, you just fall further and further into the depression. You're, you know, in isolation. So I just focused on professional wrestling. I focused on my family who ironically enough, weren't even aware that I was going through this. They didn't find out until 2011 when I started sharing my story. And it caught them completely off guard because I held it all in, which I know now was not the good idea. It was not the best idea at all, because when high school came, I started getting into more fights and verbal altercations. And I started getting more aggressive. And then that's when I realized I started playing football. And then sports also became a part of my life and helped me lose weight and be more health conscious towards my weight issues and understanding that all these symptoms I was going through, the depression and weight issues, were all something that I could control. And when I found that I had the ability to control it, is where I had the ability to make changes. And that's where I started, you know, to slowly rise up and started to defend more people getting bullied. And I started becoming a, you know, air quote protector of some youths that were alongside me in high school. Once I was able to find out that, hey, I can actually have an effect on these situations I'm going through, I can also choose what words have power and what words don't have power. So I started realizing in myself that, hey, I should take control of this. So I started.
So I'm curious to know, well, I want to talk about how you got started, and we'll talk about that when we come back from the commercial break. We're going to go to a short commercial break, and then I really want to get into that. How did you overcome all of your struggles, and how did you turn your life around? But before we do that, I want to find out a little bit more about you right now, and what are you up to right now, Dave?
Right now I put my organization, Bodyguard Generator, on a little bit of a hiatus, a little bit of a break, just to give it a new direction. And in 2016, we're debuting Bodyguard Generator under three elements, and that's self-defense, life coaching, and live empowerment. So I'm very busy with that. I'm writing the self-defense portion myself due to all my 8 years in bodyguard and security work and the countless self-defense courses I've taken in jiu-jitsu. The life coaching is called Be You Hero Within Life Coaching. I'm debuting that in 2016 as well. I'm currently mentoring 6 kids already, most of which are actually in USA, and I got 1 in Canada. So it's
wow.
It's quite a wide reach, but I'm slowly building into that. And then the live empowerment is basically just Bodyguard United going to community events, youth events, birthday parties. Wherever we're invited, where we're needed, we're also offering protective services in the sense that we'll show up to your house if you're experiencing bullying. We'll stay there and talk to your family and encourage them that way. So that's keeping me very busy. I'm also writing a book series called The Death Warrant, which is basically a zombie thriller. I'm in the midst of writing that. And that's in regards to the film industry, because I already have a director in L.A. who actually is looking to take it and make it into a movie when it's ready. And then on top of that, I'm working a full-time job. And then on top of that, I'm doing my acting with Hell on Wheels and Heartland. And I've just was submitted to a commercial for a doctor's office. So I'm doing that as often as I can on my days off. As well as I'm raising 2 amazing kids.
So how old are the kids?
My son is 7 and my daughter is 5.
Oh my goodness. So how old are the kids that you're mentoring right now?
They range from 13 up to 18.
That must feel pretty powerful, pretty incredible to know that you're helping others move through what you didn't have anyone to support you with, really.
Oh, it's definitely an eye-opener. You know, after you go through what you go through, maybe depression, suicide, you know, alcoholism, addiction, once you go through it, you just have this feeling of obligation that you have to help someone else. Like, you just feel like you have to be there because someone was there for you. And you also have the mentality of you can't teach something without confidence. So when I, you know, it's very important to me that I help people through what I went through and giving them what I call is advice, because in my personal opinion, suggestions and advice are completely different. So when you give someone advice, you just feel very good. And like, you feel, you know, I have weekly updates with the people I mentor, and they hear that they're doing amazing. One of my children, or youth that I mentor, won a YouTube award. Another one has appeared on TV and is in music videos. Like, they're all doing so well. And to have their families contact me saying that I was a huge inspiration to them makes me realize then, truthfully, that I'm on the right path.
Hmm. I want to learn more about that path and how you've used all your struggles to turn your life around. So when we come back from the short commercial break, how do you feel about sharing a little bit of your how? We've just explored who you are and why you do what you do, but I'd really like to get into the nitty-gritty and figure out and share with the listeners how you've done all of this. How does that sound?
I am an open book.
Yes, I love it. Okay, we'll be right back after this short commercial break.
Tenacious Living, Choose Your Adventure book is a compilation of 29 true short stories showcasing the spirit of tenacity and how to build inner strength and success. Visit http://tenaciousliving.org/books to find out more.
You are living outside the box here on TLRStation.com.
Hello and welcome back to Tenacious Living, Choose Your Adventure radio show. My name is Carrie Ann Barron. I am the original BS mentor and founder of Tenacious Living. And before the break, we were talking with Dave Bodie about who he is and why he does what he does. And now, Dave, if you're okay, I would love to share a little bit about how you've used your struggles to turn your life around and how you help others do that as well. So are you ready for this? Are you ready to share your how?
An open book. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. So, Dave, I have to ask you this with all sincerity. Through all of your struggles, how have you used your struggles to turn your life around and help others?
It's mainly a focus of changing my negatives and turning them into positives. And I've always spoke about resiliency and adaptation. And as long as you have the ability to breathe and you're alive, you have that opportunity to change, and not only yourself, but to change others as well. Because no matter what people think, someone is always watching you. Someone's always watching your statuses on Facebook or Twitter or what have you on social media. Someone's always watching and listening to what you're doing. And I share my story openly for the simple fact that I want people to have trust in me. I can't help anyone. I can't empower or mentor anyone until they have trust into me, and until they understand my credibility and why I've taken this path to help you, is because I was helped there. You know, people were there for me, and therefore in return, I'm there for other people. And I start off with telling them my life story. You know, my battles with my mother leaving me when I was 4, growing up feeling worthless because my mother wasn't around. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but it's reality. When a parent leaves you, and before they leave you, they say they love you, and then they're gone the next day. You feel worthless growing up. And that basically allowed me to be a victim to being bullied. And I tolerated it for almost 10 years. I tolerated being the victim, and I made excuses to why I deserved it. But then I started realizing that my life was worth a lot more than this. I was going down a nasty path that I didn't want to go down. And then when I suffered my 15th severe concussion in 2011, that's when I realized I had to make changes. I had to do something that was going to build towards my legacy, because I'm huge on legacy. I'm huge in how I'll be, you know, remember my pass on, and my children, how they'll remember me and how they look up to me. And when I had my son at 22, I realized that I had to take care of a whole new life. Like, my life was in the past, and I had to focus on my sons. And I didn't want him to go through what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
So I started focusing on past becoming a mentor and helping youth. So I love kids. I love what they stand for. Kids are just so honest. They're so blunt. They're so forward. Every quality we have and want as an adult, youth possess. So I'm naturally drawn to youth. So what I've done is I just share my stories, and then it gets picked up by parents and social groups and schools, and then they share it with their youth around them and their families, and then that's how I usually make contact with the kids. And I always speak to the parents first, tell them my story in person, and then we just go through a process of them sharing what their child's going through and how it relates to me.
So if I understand what you're saying, one of the biggest ways that you've been able to use your struggles and to turn around your life is to actually be open and honest and share with what you've gone through, so that you can others know that you can empathize and that they're not alone in their struggles.
That's correct.
Wow. I just want to sit with that for a second, because so many of us feel that if there's something bad going on in our lives, that we shouldn't talk about it. What do you say to the people that have that belief system?
Sabotage. I learned in my life that when you hold it in, you are sabotaging any opportunity to release it. It's that saying where it doesn't seem real to you until you say it out loud to someone else. So when you have an issue you're going through, and you just hold it within your mind, you hold it within your heart, you hold it within you, it kind of gives you this mentality that it's not real sometimes, because you're not saying it out loud, you're not sharing it. So what happens is eventually just take it as a normalcy. You take it as part of life, and then you accept it, and then you tolerate it, and then you're now stuck. Now you're like, okay, I've accepted all the stuff that I've been going through. To me, it's normal. But as soon as you say to a family member or a loved one or a friend, I'm going through this, I need help, it's an immediate, and I mean that, emphasize, it's immediately weighed off your shoulders. As soon as I started sharing my story in 2011, all those years of holding it, I just felt relieved.
Mm.
So don't hold it in. You know, it's sabotage if you hold it in. You risk so much. You risk depression. You risk health issues. You risk isolation. And you just risk making things worse.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the next question I was actually going to ask you is, how does someone know when they're sabotaging themselves? Because when we're going through the struggle, and I know this from my own personal experiences as well, is when you're in the struggle, you don't recognize it for what it is. So for those that are listening and maybe starting to, so, hey, you know, maybe I've got something going on, what would be some of the key signs or red flags that they could notice themselves and like, oh my gosh, I really need to start talking to someone? What would be some of those signs that they're experiencing, or behaviors or thoughts or actions?
When they realize that their actions are contradicted to what they want. If they want to have more friends, but they're acting isolated and neglected. If they want to have more fun experiences going swimming, going to some movies, but they find themselves sitting in the room, just laying on a pillow. It's basically any action that contradicts what your core values that you want, that's a red flag. As soon as you start realizing, holy cow, this is what I want, this is what I'm doing, it's an immediate reflection of, I got to make changes right away. Which is not always easy. It's never easy for someone to admit that they're depressed, because they're so scared of societal pressure. They're so scared of people attacking them, saying, you're weak, get over it, move on. There's so many fears that disallow people to actually get the help, because they feel the help is not there due to, you know, social statuses and how people feel with depression and suicide. People hold it in because they're scared more to share it.
I want to dig deeper into that. Why do you think they're so scared to share? And you may have touched on this briefly already, but I think it's so important for our listeners to truly understand that this is one of the ways that you can redirect the course that your life is heading. So can you explore that a little bit more for us, with us?
Of course. People, it's psychology. People don't like looking weak. Think of sports. You're told, tough it out, don't complain, don't whine, deal with it, move on. You're rushed into this crazy societal pressure where you can't share weakness. You have to only share your success. But at the same time, it's a contradiction. We all love, based on true stories, we all love true events. We all love inspiring stories. But at the same time, we belittle our chances of meeting more inspiring people by telling them, don't tell me your problems. I don't want to hear your goals. I just want to hear how you're happy. It's depressing. You know, you telling me you're depressed makes me feel sad. I don't want that energy. And it's just extremely contradicting. People are being hypocritical and they're being contradictive. People love inspiring stories. So give people the chance to inspire you by sharing theirs. If you feel someone's depressed, give them the time. Just say, hey, what's wrong? How can I help? Those words can literally save so many lives.
So to me, that's a little bit about the tenacity within us, because tenacious living is having the, to me, it's having the ability to put yourself first and to really treat yourself well and be open and honest with what you're experiencing, good, bad, or indifferent. How do you feel about the word tenacity and in what we're talking about right now?
You gotta let, you know, you have to grab life by the horns.
Yeah.
You just have to, like, you have to spend every day of your life doing opposite what you did before. You know, take more risks, share more of your story, be more honest, be more vigilant, like be more adamant in your ways. You know, sometimes you have to be selfish in your life. You have to be, like, sometimes you have to put yourself first. And if that means you have to go to your friend and say, listen, I need to talk to somebody. Can you please be here? Be selfish and say, this is about me. I need you to listen, please. Be tenacious, mm-hmm. Be vigilant. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee that if you have a good friend, he or she will actually listen.
So how does that fall into when you speak about adaptation and resiliency? Because I know when you're in that struggle, people think if I don't show that I'm weak, I'm actually being resilient. But I think what we're talking about, that's the exact opposite of what we're trying to share with everyone today. So what do those words mean to you, adaptation and resiliency?
Resiliency also means to overpower. So right now we're facing the societal pressure of don't be weak. Don't share your sadness with me. You gotta, you know, be resilient to that and say, no, you're gonna listen to me because you say you care. You know, there's something wrong with going to someone you love that says that they love you back and say, listen, this is where you have to prove it. Let me share my story. I'm gonna share what I'm going through. You know, resiliency means a lot of things. Adaptation basically to me just means this is what the life throws at me. I'm gonna find a way around it. I'm going to find a way to deal with it. I'm going to find a way to see the positive in here, because I always say that there's no such thing as problems, just solutions waiting to be found. And with every problem, there's a solution there. You just got to be resilient enough to actually focus on your beliefs, focus on what makes you happy, and to ignore the societal pressure, because so many people are forced into beliefs. Like, I believe you should do this. I believe you should do that. It's like I said on Twitter yesterday, you know, don't take someone's opinions for gold if their life has only given them bronze. You know, it's hard for someone who has not been through depression to tell someone just to deal with it or who has not had anxiety. So you have to, you know who to go to. That's another thing that I tell my youth and mentors. You got to know who to go through and know where to get the suggestion, know where to get the advice. People who have been through what you've been through are most likely the ones to helping you out.
Okay, so I want to focus on the word adaptation now. We've only got about 4 minutes left, so I really want to – this is something that came up to me when we first started the interview. You talked about how you tolerated bullying and adapting to the situation. Some people would think, or I would think – I know I had this belief that if I adapted to the situation, that it would go away. And for some reason, I'm seeing a connection between tolerating bullying and what some people may perceive as adapting. Do you want to explore that a little bit further?
Of course. What I meant by when I said tolerant, it meant I accepted it as normal. When I adapted to it was when I realized it was not normal. And to my eyes, adaptation is doing an action that gets you away from what you don't like. Not necessarily giving into it to try to get overcome it, because when I went further into accepting it, I basically went further downhill until I realized, you know what, no, I'm done with this. I'm going to adapt to it the way that I want to, and that's to be resilient, that's to be stronger, that's to be more vocal, to be more aggressive in a way, I guess. Like when someone would bully me, I would stand up for myself. I would push them back. I got to the point that my adaptation through that experience, which can be different for anyone, but the way that I adapted was fighting back, was being more aggressive and being more standoffish and being more confrontational. So that's how I adapted to my bullying. I accepted it. I tolerated it. And I said, no, I'm going to adapt again and change my complete mindset here and become more confrontational.
I think that is such an important distinction for people to understanding that adapting does not necessarily mean that you're quote unquote rolling with the punches, especially when we're talking about bullying, but it actually means taking control of the situation and shifting it so that it's starting to work for you and that you're not putting yourself in a place of harm anymore.
Exactly. Adaptation gets you away from what is depressing you.
I love that. I wish we had so much more time to explore this, Dave. We only have a couple of minutes left, and we're just on the tip of the iceberg. So you know you're coming back for another conversation with me. And so we do have to wrap up here. The show has been about your story in Choose Your Adventure, and I think it suits very well with what we've just talked about. Your version of adaptation literally is saying, choose your adventure, turn your life around, make it go direct. I love that. It's such a nice wrap up. Any last thoughts, final thoughts, one takeaway that you would like people who are listening, who want to know more about you? Okay, I have two questions. What's your last thought, and then how can they get a hold of you?
My last thought is just always remember what I said at the beginning. As long as you're alive, you can always adapt and affect change. Always. As long as you're breathing, you have the opportunity to affect change and to no longer accept what you no longer want and to no longer allow yourself to accept lower than what you're worth. Because as soon as you accept lower than what you're worth, you actually diminish your worth. So keep accepting and keep being vigilant to what you want and just to have fun. Like really, like I love laughing and having fun and telling jokes. You can find me on Facebook at www.facebook.com/officialDaveBody, on Twitter at DaveBody86, LinkedIn at Dave Matthew Body, Instagram at Dave Matthew Body as well. I'm basically everywhere. I'm always easily reachable through email as well at davebody86@gmail.com. Bodyguards United is at www.facebook.com/bodyguardsunited. I'm always here.
Ah, yeah. You're such an inspiration to so many people, and I'm just so blessed that we cross paths and that we are supporting each other and that I'm able to support you in getting your message out to even a broader audience. So thank you for being part of the Tenacious Living community as a host or as a co-author. Precursored there. You might be a host soon based on that. Maybe. So Dave, thank you so much for joining us today. Everyone that's been listening, thank you for tuning in and learning a little bit more about adaptation, resiliency, and how to choose your adventure in your life and how to turn your life around, even though you've got all those struggles that seem to be stacked against you. So Dave, thank you again. Everyone, enjoy the music that's coming up, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Choose Your Adventure Radio. You have the ability to reshape the reality you are experiencing into one that is much greater, more empowering, and powerful than you could have ever imagined. Tune in next month, same day and time, to hear from our next featured co-author. Until then, visit www.choose-your-adventure.com to meet all the authors.